Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Denise Cannell. My sister Janice has the night off due to traveling, but joining me tonight as my co-host is my friend and fellow makeup artist, Brandy Brockington. How are you, Brandy?
I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Joining us tonight, we have the lovely April Love from the April Love Pro Makeup Academy. But before we speak with April, we're going to allow Brandy to give us a little bit of beauty news.
All right. Well, I have two items here for the beauty news for tonight. The first one's coming from the Professional Beauty Association, the PBA. They're going to host a free 60-minute webinar on incorporating skincare services in salons. So, I mean, as the economy is growing and getting better, the point of this is to teach salons how to expand their services from just hair, but into doing skin as well and doing it the right way so that it's profitable for them. It's going to be on September 30th, 2013 at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's a part of PBA's continual effort to provide the best in education for beauty professionals. And if you want to register, you can go to probeauty.org/edu online. The other item is IMATS in Australia, Sydney. So that's going to be September 21st to the 22nd. And the top three keynote speakers are going to be Joel Harlow. He's an Oscar-winning makeup artist. He's Johnny Depp's right-hand man. Celebrity makeup artist Ray Morris. And she's an author as well. And Dale Dorning, he's the Australian Makeup Artist of the Year nominee. And then some of the other featured speakers would be Eve Pearl, Rachel Montgomery, and Becca Gilmartin. And if you want to go get your tickets, you can go to imats.com.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So how are you, April?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you, ladies?
Great, great. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, you're welcome. So tell me, or tell us, and tell our listening audience, just give us a little a little quick bio about who you are, who's April Love, how you started in makeup, all that fun.
Sure. Awesome. I'd be happy to. Well, I guess like many of your listeners, I, in high school, was always the one doing everyone's makeup and having a passion for makeup. But it definitely, at that time, wasn't looked upon as a career. So I resorted to cosmetology school, which I thought was something my parents would approve of. I went to cosmetology school, but I still just always found myself at the makeup counter. So after getting my cosmetology license, I did the typical salon job and still wasn't happy. And I found this makeup school in about 2000. I'd been doing makeup, you know, at that point on at a salon for about 5 years, but I still wanted more. So I went to a school called Westmore Academy. Westmore, Michael Westmore is actually running the show Face Off that's become this national phenomenon. So I got to be trained by the Westmore family, and that's where I think I just truly discovered that not only did I have a love for makeup, but I wanted to teach makeup. So that's where I started, and through there I started working for a company called Sebastian as a makeup artist, and I started locally training in salons and then moved up to national, and then I finally made it as a global educator. So I worked on the global education team for Sebastian for about 10 years, and I just realized that was my passion and my calling, not only to be a makeup artist, but to teach other makeup artists and to really mentor people in the art of makeup. And so that's what I've done. And other than working for Sebastian, I've worked for MAC, and I've worked for other, you know, training at other facilities, teaching other makeup artists. I've also done some freelance makeup, so I was the head of hair and makeup for Ed Hardy and for the owner, Christian Odejay, for the past 8 years until he got rid of his brand. So I've done a lot of freelance. I've kind of covered all the bases as a makeup artist and decided in about 2011 that it was time to open my own academy, and so here we are today.
Cool. So you opened up your academy in 2011?
Yeah, so we were founded in 2011, and once I didn't have my job at Sebastian anymore, I was kind of a lost makeup artist, and I really missed teaching. I did the freelance for about 5 or 6 years, and I really realized that I missed that connection with students and other makeup artists. So I started guest teaching and here and there, and realized that, you know, why can't I just open up my own academy? It was always one of those dreams I had in the back of my mind that I thought would never be a reality.
Right. So how hard was that, or was that difficult to do?
Well, I'd owned a salon for about 9.5 years, so I definitely did have, you know, some managing skills in running a business. So on that end, it was, I knew it wouldn't be so hard for me. But, you know, owning a school was something I'd never tackled before. So it was not too difficult, but it definitely was, you know, fulfilling. The difficulties were outweighed by the, you know, just the joy of being able to know that you're mentoring other people and building up a new breed of makeup artists. And for me, that's really what it's all about. I've spent 20 years in this business, and so I think it's just time to give back and to train up new people to go out and discover their passion and their talent. And I wish I had somebody at a young age to do that for me.
Right, right. So, let's see. Now, when you were with Sebastian, you were doing makeup.
Right. So Sebastian had a makeup line called Truco. I don't know if any of you guys remember little brand called Truco.
Yes, I do.
And I always admired the brand. Yeah, it was just a fabulous brand, and their imagery was always amazing. And someone at my salon told me about some tryouts they were having, and so I thought, why not? Let's try it out. And there were 60 people that tried out, and only two of us made the team. So I was very honored, and I just worked my way up, and I worked there for about 9 years. I got to travel the world. I worked in Japan. I worked in every state, different countries. It's just an amazing, amazing experience.
So you said you went to cosmetology school. And then after that, Westmore Academy.
Right.
And so you have both the hair and the makeup training. Well, pretty much a little bit of a little bit of everything as a cosmetologist.
Yeah, so, I'm a hairdresser, but I never tell anybody that. But I've done more hair, I would say, in the past 6 to 8 years in this industry than I've ever done working at a salon for 10 years.
Oh my God.
So this industry is definitely shifting and changing, you know, to really the need for a multi-talented artist is definitely more than it was years ago. I think people specialized, and now the more talented you are and services you can offer, the better.
See, that brings me to my next question. I wanted to – oh, I'm sorry, Brandy, you had a question?
No, I was going to say that that's happened to me. I went to cosmetology school, and then I'll get hired for a hair job. That's how I got into makeup, because they were saying, oh, well, do you do makeup? And at first I was like, no, I don't. But then I had to backtrack and learn makeup, and then sometimes I get hired for a makeup job, and they're like, oh, can you do the hair too? So definitely that need for that multi-talented. I see that more and more, where they're asking for you to be able to do more than one thing.
And I think...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think it's a trend. I mean, when I had a salon, it was very trendy for you to see one colorist and one haircutting specialist. You know, it was a trendy phase. So then I noticed on set there was a separate makeup artist and a separate hair artist. But I think as the economy shifted, that trend of seeing two separate artists means you have two separate tips, two separate bills, two separate people to deal with, two separate appointment times. And so I saw that shift when the economy changed, and I also saw it shift on the freelance world as well. That the more offerings you have, the more of an asset you are in this industry.
I think, and you're right, I think once the economy changed, it really became something, you know, popular to do. But I honestly believe that you can focus on one or the other. I think a lot of these production companies are just being cheap. To me, I really do. I do. But I honestly believe that if you have a makeup artist who, you know, she can do hair or he can do hair, but that's really not their gift.
Right.
I honestly believe you will, I mean, I think the client will be happier. I think you will get, you know, the best work out of an artist if they focus on what they know how to do well. So I believe in, like, I'm often, you know, on some, I'll get calls for jobs where, you know, they want you to do, you know, hair and makeup. And then it's like, when they want you to do hair, it's like, you know, all of a sudden they have all these requests, you know what I mean? And my thing is, it's not my gift. I can do certain things, and I can, you know, I can do a pretty good job at certain things with hair, but it's not my gift, and I have an attitude about it because I just don't want to do it. I just, that's just not me. I don't want to do it. So I let people know up front when they call me for jobs, I don't do hair. You know, if you want somebody to do hair and makeup, then you'll definitely have to call somebody else because that's just not me.
Well, and I think, too, like you're saying, it's very important to know your limits. You know, I do hair, but I won't take on a job that's out of my realm. And so I always say makeup is my specialty, and I do some hair. However, if you want editorial crazy hair, that's not my specialty. I can curl some beach hair, you know. So, you know, taking on a job that encompasses your specialty and knowing what your limits are, you know, and setting yourself up to succeed, not to fail, you know.
But the difference is you're a licensed cosmetologist. I'm not. So for me, if I were a licensed cosmetologist but didn't really want to do it, you know, of course I'd take the job because I'm just like, okay, it's hair. I can do that. You know what I mean? I haven't been trained to do anything. I just know certain things, you know?
Yeah.
So it's
go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything to say. Go ahead.
Well, and we teach a class at the school for somebody just like yourself because not all people want to spend that, you know, in California, it's $1,600 in cosmetology school, and we get so many students that have gone 1,600 hours, and they come out uninspired, and they say, I didn't like hair. I don't want to do perms and roller sets all day long, you know, and nails. I want to do makeup. So we really designed our hair class to teach the makeup artist who specializes how to do enough hair on set to get by and to do some weddings, but definitely we're not cutting and coloring and you know, getting into like a cosmetology license. So it's a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah. So definitely just making a more well-rounded artist out of them. But
exactly.
I definitely specialize in makeup.
Now tell us, I know you told us about when you got started, but when you started your academy, did you see, I guess basically I'm wanting to know more about why, did you see that there was really a need for, you know, another school or maybe another school in the area that you live in, or were you just thinking of doing something different, or how different is your school from anywhere else?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, I was about 12 years ago, I took a class with Crystal Wright, and she made me write down my goals, and my 10-year goal was to open a school. And so that 10-year goal had come and gone, and it was really in the back of my mind. And I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, now is the time. I don't have a salon. I'm just freelancing. You know, I'm not tied down to anything. So I started guest teaching at some different schools, and what I really noticed is the quality of the teachers, they just didn't have as much experience, because it's one thing to know how to do makeup, but a completely different thing to know how to teach somebody else your craft.
That's true.
And that's something I'm really trained in doing. Just because somebody is a great, you know, guitar player doesn't mean they would be great in teaching somebody else how to do it. It takes a special gift to be a teacher. And I definitely have a high respect for teachers, you know, from grade school to makeup teachers to guitar teachers. It's a different gift in being a teacher. And I knew I had that gift because I've done it. And so I really wanted to create an academy that was more boutique-like. You know, the reason why we shop at a boutique, because we get that personal approach, that personal quality education. And so we are a small academy for that reason. Our educators all have over 10 years experience, and it's really important to me that we all have different areas of this industry that we worked in. So, you know, we all come from different backgrounds, but we all have a lot of strong experience in teaching. And so that's really why I opened the academy, was just to be different and to, you know, really offer. I found a lot of academies, the owner wasn't teaching, and you know, a lot of maybe makeup artists who are fabulous, but maybe, you know, under 5 years experience, so they hadn't really been out there and taught or worked on a set or worked in a movie or, you know, can't answer sometimes those questions that I think as a new makeup artist we have, you know. So that was kind of my reason in opening the school.
It makes sense that you would have, I mean, and I like what you said, it's one thing to know how to do it and the other thing to teach. And then the other part is that, yeah, as a new artist, I mean, great, you taught me how to do a smoky eye, but are you teaching me how to, you know, set etiquette and what it's like
right.
to really be out there and what am I really going to get paid or, you know, what have you experienced
right.
in that kind of way? Do you teach those kind of things as well, as, like more as a well experience for them?
Yes. I mean, in the class, we not only go over techniques, but we also go over business and, you know, what you should be charging and how your business card should look like and what to expect. And, I mean, we even get into how to do your taxes, what to write off. So we really get into answering all those questions. And like you mentioned, you know, the important thing for me, and I tell the students from day one, be great to work with. People will forgive you if in the beginning you don't do the greatest blend on your smoky eye. But if you're great to work with, they will want you back time and time again until you
That's
get
so
better.
True. That's
and,
so true. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think too many artists with the influx of social media, they have the stipulation that they have to be as perfect as so-and-so on Instagram and blend and cut the crease. And you don't. You've got to be great to work with. You will get to that level later, but you've got to be great to work with, because when you're great to work with, you will be busy. Nobody wants to work on set with somebody for 15 hours who's a complainer.
Right.
You know?
That's so
and
true.
So that's what
that's
I,
so
you
true.
Know, that's what I instill in the students is really just quality over quantity and be genuine and build great relationships, because I really, the school and all the jobs that we send our students on and probably 50% of the internships are my old clients who I've had for 15 years. who now know I have a school, who depend on me, who trust in the artists I send them, and who call us to do jobs and to send these artists out. And so I think that's really what it's about in this industry, is just building a strong network of people to support you and to work with. So we go over all of that with the students. And our students really become a family and a team at the Academy. And I think that that's really important too. You know, choosing a school is like choosing a home. You know, it needs to be a place that you fit in and that you know you can last a lifetime in.
Right.
And so that's really what we urge our students to do.
Since you brought up social media, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Do you teach your students about social media and how important it is to their careers?
We do talk a little bit about social media. I have to say I wasn't so social media savvy until the past couple of years. And I think, you know, as you've interviewed probably some of these celebrity makeup artists, L.A. is different. Los Angeles is very celebrity-driven. I hardly work in L.A. I mostly worked in New York and in different countries. And over there, you know, in the different areas, it's not about the celebrities you work on. It's about the designers you work for and the photographers you work for. But L.A. is definitely social media and celebrity-driven. So it is important for us to talk to our students about that. And we do also sometimes bring in guest speakers that have propelled their careers to new heights through social media, and so they can give some insight as well into that. And we talk about, you know, how to brand yourself, how important it is to create a good brand for yourself as an artist.
Right. Now, talk to us a little bit about the courses at your academy, because I know you have, like, different programs starting at different times. I know there's, like, a special effects and beauty, and you have some other things going on. Tell us a little bit about all of those.
Yeah, I want to talk about the special effects first, because when you said special effects, I got goosebumps. I'm so excited to announce that we just got on our team, he jumped on board our team, actually, Eric Fox from season four of Face Off. Right. And he's just an amazing artist, and I think a lot like me, 20 years in the business, very humble guy who kind of threw Face Off was all of a sudden a celebrity, but he's been talented for the past 20 years. You know, and he's a great story of how social media can really propel your career, and he's just an amazing artist. So he's going to be teaching our special effects and character class, which we're launching our first class in November. And so it meets on Sunday nights, and it's going to be just amazing. I never thought I would take an effects class because it just wasn't me as an artist, but I'm so excited to make cuts and bruises and gory stuff. I can't even tell you. Because I think when you love the way somebody teaches or does an art, you just want to listen to whatever they're saying. And so we are having that class starting. And other than that class, we teach a 12-week beauty class in which you become certified as a makeup artist. And we cover everything from matching skin tone, contour and highlight, which is really the foundation to great makeup artistry. We talk about color theory. We do smoky eyes. We do bridal. We talk about how to price yourself with a bride, how to do a consultation. So that's about our first 6 weeks. So it's a little more simple, kind of the boot camp basics of makeup. And then the last 6 weeks, we really get creative. We talk about the different iconic areas in makeup, the 1920s to the 1980s. So we talk about different designers and how they influence cosmetics and makeup artistry and fashion. Then we get into some men's makeup, mature makeup. That's when we start to talk about business. And then the last day, our students do an amazing photo shoot, graduation. And that's really a fun time for them to showcase what they learned, but also for them to leave the academy having something to promote themselves as a new makeup artist on their website, their Facebook, their social media pages. And we offer our classes in the evenings and on the weekends. So we cater to people who have maybe wanted to do this as a career but couldn't commit, you know, 40 hours a week to school. So we get everything from nurses to sheriff's officers to, you know, I have a child psychologist in class. So we get people who just always had this passion but never thought it was a good career. Yeah. So we definitely cater to a lot of different types of people. And our classes, like I said, are once a week. We also have our hair class, which we talked about. We also have a airbrush class. So we have quite a few different things for our students to take advantage of. And the awesome thing is once you're a student for life, you can come back and retake any course for free that you've already taken. Because things change and sometimes we lose our inspiration or we get stuck in a rut or, you know, some of our students go on to have children and, you know, they take a year of mommy time and then they want to come back and feel inspired and get back into it. So we offer that for our students to come back. And I'm telling you, once they become our student, I can't get rid of them. They're always there, which is a good thing, I guess.
Right. Well, hold that thought because I do want to ask you something about your classes in a second. But we have a caller on the line. We can let that caller on.
No, it looks like they got disconnected.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, back to April.
I was excited about the caller.
I know. One thing that Brandy and I were discussing earlier, we were wondering if you had like continuing education. But I did see earlier, because Brandy was thinking about an airbrush class, but I did see that you had like a two-day airbrush class coming up later this year. But also, you just mentioned that if, you know, once you graduate, I guess, from the program, then you can come back and take, I guess, kind of refresh your skills and take any of the courses again.
Right. And, you know, we're always evolving. I think as an artist, that's a great thing about an artist is there are no rules, you know, and so your artistry is always evolving. And so just this past week, my other teachers, Jennifer and Stephen and I, were brainstorming about how we can evolve the curriculum. You know, it's been 2 years. We've been teaching the same thing. I need a change. So we thought, you know, how can we change it? How can we evolve it? So that's why we encourage our students to come back, too, because we're always changing things. We like, you know, we like new ideas. We're inspired by other artists. We go to these shows like IMAX and Fame, and we see something new, and so we want to bring it to the classroom. So that's something we always do. But we also, about twice a month on a Thursday night, we have free classes that are open not only to our students but to the public. We have one the next coming Thursday, and it's a free pinup makeup demo. And I was noticing with the influx of social media that the pinup is like being revamped and resurfacing again. So we have an amazing YouTube guru pinup artist. Her name is the Cherry Dollface. And she's coming in at 7 p.m. next Thursday to teach an amazing demo about pinup, hair, and makeup. So we have that going on, and we just had a threading class. So we definitely have a lot of different continuing education that's not only open to our students but open to anyone who'd like to come take the class.
Okay. Okay. And what's the price of your continuing education?
The majority of them are free. Class is free. Yeah, our pinup class is free. We just do ask that you RSVP because we have a limited space. And if there is a cost, we usually try to keep it under $50. So just to, you know, cover the cost of materials. So, for instance, our threading class was $50, and our students got certified in the art of threading. We like to have guest speakers come in. So we have Crystal Wright coming in October to talk about how to package your portfolio. She she's the author of the Hair, Makeup, and Artist Styling Career Guide. So we have her coming in October. At a really reduced price for our students to be able to take advantage and jumpstart their career. Like I said, I sat in her class 12 years ago and really set some goals for myself and held myself accountable, which I think is important in this industry. And when you asked about the airbrush, Brandy, the airbrush, we do have that coming up in November. And we use the Temp 2 airbrush, which is an amazing product. And so our students get 2 full days of airbrush education. And that's great for our students who love to do bridal because that's a really big industry, I think, in California, especially Southern California. Everybody wants to get married in beautiful Southern California. So we have a high bridal clientele here, and they definitely ask for airbrush. We offer that as well. So we have quite a few things. I can't even keep up with sometimes with all the stuff we have going on. We also have different charities that come in to the academy. So we keep our students pretty busy. Just today I had three different groups of artists working at three different events. So we definitely keep the artists busy.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. It looks like we have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and bring them on the line and see what question they have.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi, tell us your
Hello.
Name.
I'm sorry, I tuned in late. I was just wondering actually where the school was located.
Oh, okay. April?
Yeah, sure. We're located in San Gabriel. So San Gabriel is a small little city that's nestled right in the heart of the San Gabriel Valley, just about 10 minutes southeast of Pasadena. Are you familiar with the area?
No, I'm sorry. I'm like, this is going to sound stupid, but is that Texas or California?
Oh, it's in California. There is a
okay,
Pasadena,
I'm sorry.
Texas.
I live in New Jersey.
There is a Pasadena in Texas.
There is. I forget about that. There's a Pasadena. No, we're actually in Southern California.
Oh, okay, that's such a shame. I was listening to it. I'm actually a freelance artist, and I just started getting back into it again. So,
awesome. Good for you.
What kind of classes are you looking for?
I mean, really anything. I'm always, you know, in this business up for expanding, you know, my knowledge and learning what's out there and new products. And
Do you have a pen and paper close by?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you be opposed to, like, online classes?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay. I'm going to give you a website to some online classes. Where did you say you were located?
New Jersey.
In Jersey,
but
right.
Actually,
okay.
Northern New Jersey, so I live about 15 minutes outside of New York.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you a website for some classes, especially being a freelancer. These classes will help you. There are some free classes called Lipstick Lectures, and then there are online classes. So the website is Marietta Carter. It's just someone's name, Marietta Carter, - Narcisse, N-A-R-C-I-S-S-E, .com. If you go to that website, you can see the list of her classes that she offers online. And they're really nice classes because you can see, like, whatever handout she has or, you know, any visual aspect of the class, you'll be able to see it through,
now,
I think it's called WebEx, I think, conference, but like video conference.
Go ahead. Is this a weekly show? I think I might have saw one other show that you had,
yes,
but I don't know if it's the same thing. Oh, okay, that's great. It's awesome. You know, this
awesome.
Is really the only show I've seen, you know, for
yes.
something like this. And it's really great that you're doing this.
Well, come back and join us next.
For sure. I just had one more question.
Sure.
I was wondering
okay.
How you guys feel about, like, especially if you freelance, you know, getting a part of an agency or an agent. Because I know some people do that.
Right. Now, what are you trying to do with your career? Like, what areas do you want to work in?
Well, 2 years ago, I was doing, like, a lot of infomercials, commercials, stuff like that. But I took a two-year break to do clothing management at a store, which was kind of a bad move on my part. So I kind of lost touch with a lot of my contacts. I'm just kind of starting again, but I'm really, honestly, I'm not opposed to doing anything. I do anything from bridal to commercials.
Gotcha.
I think there's, I think there's definitely pros and cons in having an agent, and like the ladies were saying, Denise and Brandy, it really depends on where you want to take your career and where you're basing yourself. I'm not familiar with the New Jersey, business side of New Jersey and how freelance artists work there. But I know in California, you don't always have to have an agent. I know a lot of artists who have amazing clientele without having an agent. It really kind of depends on where you want to position yourself in this industry. But I think, too, we talked a little bit about social media earlier, and I think if you can become a little social media savvy, I don't always think you need an agent. I think you're your own best agent sometimes.
I'm trying to start something on my own called Rock and Glow, a company I'm trying to get off the ground, but it's really helpful as well.
Are you on social media?
I am, but I'm since I just got back into it, I'm really just building it up again.
Oh, okay. So which ones are you on? Are you on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm on LinkedIn. Facebook, I'm getting that started again. I just actually started the new style. I forget what it's called. Style. It's newer.
There's so many social medias.
Yeah, I know.
So what's your thing on LinkedIn? We can follow you.
It's Brittany, Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last name is Locurto, Locurto.
Okay. We'll follow you on LinkedIn.
Oh, well,
we'll have more info.
Oh, it's okay.
If you're ever up for flying to LA, you can always come and take a weekend class.
Yeah,
be a lot of fun.
This is on every Sunday, your show?
Yes, every Sunday. Every Sunday at 9. You're in Jersey, so it's 9:00 for you, Jersey.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I'll follow you on LinkedIn, and I'll. You're not on Twitter and Facebook. Well, you're bringing Facebook back, but you're not on Twitter, right?
I am, but you would think I'd be more Twitter savvy, but I never really got on that boat. I'm trying to. It's hard when you, started it and then kind of ignored it for a few years.
Oh, I know.
Brittany, there's this great social media application that I discovered for the non-social media savvy people like me. A bit older, and I wasn't always so great. I actually had to ask my kids about social media. But there's this great thing that I discovered for business. It's called Hootsuite, H-O-O-T, Suite. And it links all your social media sites together. It's just great for business because when you post on one, it posts on everything.
Awesome.
So if you want to post on your Twitter and Hootsuite, Hoot, like an owl, there's a hoot. Yeah, H-O-O-T, and then Suite. It's really fabulous. So it's about $7 a month. It's totally worth it. And so I'm not very Twitter savvy either. I'm more Facebook and Instagram savvy. So when you post on one of those, it allows you to choose which social media you want to post.
Awesome.
So if you're making a business posting or posting a photo of your work or, something like that, you can post on everything at one time with just one post instead of having to log on to all these different outlets. And so I find it's really done wonders for us. We really love it at the Academy.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then all of our employees can post, and it's very easy.
Yeah, especially when, we all have, such creative minds and everything. It's kind of, you have these big ideas. It's kind of hard to translate into
those
different outlets.
Exactly.
Yeah, it definitely will. Well, thank you, ladies. I really appreciate it. Continue listening.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
Have a nice evening.
Oh, for sure.
We'll be sure to follow you and connect with you. You're welcome. Thanks again for calling. She was sweet.
Yeah. I wish I could I wish I could clone myself sometimes and open schools and I get asked, come to this state, come to that state.
Right, right.
I think we are a little spoiled in L.A. with the saturation of, everything that we have here at our fingertips. We don't realize sometimes, the need is definitely there.
And if Brittany's still listening, there's always, in the springtime, I think in April, there's IMATS New York, and then in May, there's... the makeup show. So you can always attend either or both of those trade shows to, you know, kind of get more education, network with other makeup artists and different brands too. So that's always an option, you know, to kind of get herself back in there and maybe possibly get into, you know, kind of discover more areas of makeup that she may want to try to venture into besides, you know, commercials and infomercials. And that will kind of give her a little more idea of whether or not she feels like she should have an agent or not.
Right,
because
exactly.
You can honestly do it without an agent, but some people, you know, some people aren't business savvy, and sometimes they need an agent for that type of thing. So, you know, you can do it without an agent, and then some people just like having the option of having one.
Well, and I think, you know, it's also going to depend on the level of where your artistry is. Like our other educator, Stephen Dimmick, is represented by AIM Agency, which is one of the top premier agencies out of New York. But at the same time, his clients are Vogue and Time Magazine, and he's currently working in New York for H&M. So when you're dealing with these big corporate, you know, conglomerates like that, you don't want to be the makeup artist having to deal with them. You want the agent in place for you to negotiate and to get those contracts out of the way and that business stuff that we as makeup artists aren't always as good at. So I think, you know, when you get to that level of artistry, then of course you would need an agent.
And then not just that, but the corporations want that too. They want to deal with the agent and not the artist.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes. I think definitely when I was working for Sebastian, they were basically our agent, and so we did have bigger, higher profile clientele. You know, than just maybe your average job that you could have gotten on your own sometimes. So
right.
It definitely depends on where you want to position yourself. But I sometimes see some of the drawbacks to an agency is that you kind of are under their, you know, umbrella. So you don't sometimes get to be as creative, and you don't sometimes get to take those fun jobs that don't pay anything but are just creative outlet for you. So, you know, with an agency comes some, you know, some good and some bad. You always have to kind of think about that for yourself. And what's best for you, ultimately, as an artist.
Right. Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I don't know, to some people this may sound like a dumb question, but there are no dumb questions, right?
Right.
How important is it to you to educate makeup artists on beauty makeup? Now, I know that sounds strange, and, you know, of course, all makeup schools cover beauty makeup. But how important is it? Because, I mean, if there are makeup artists out here, they do a great job on the eyes. Oh, my God, that's all you see. The eyes are so fabulous. They're blended so well. They've got 10 colors on them, and they make them look so beautiful. But when you look at the skin, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see every blemish. It looks as if there's no makeup on the skin at all. I know makeup artists, they do such a great job, but they can't seem to match foundation worth anything.
Well, and I think, you know, it's a fabulous question because our students come in, and week one they think they're going to walk out looking like they just visited, you know, a cosmetics counter. And I think their family expects they're going to come home from makeup school looking like some of these girls you're describing. And the reality of it is we have to learn to crawl before we can walk. And the basis of a great makeup artist is that they learn the fundamentals, which is, like you're saying, you're matching foundation, contouring, highlighting, correcting the skin. Because the skin is the groundwork of everything else you're going to do. So it's the framework. It would be, you know, it would be like building a house and putting the roof on first. We don't do that. We build the frame. And so I try to teach the makeup artists that you have to understand the beauty and the foundation and the contour and the highlight. And then we'll get to eyeshadow. And then we'll get to brows. But we need to master this before we move on. So in the class, we really work methodically and we build up our skill. And we don't move on until we've mastered that skill, and then we move on to the next. And I think that's very important because, like you said, Denise, too many makeup artists, you know, we see just the eye, and then we pan down to see the rest of the makeup, and it's horrible. or they do a great eye but not a great lip. So, you know, right. A look is really about the whole look. And when you do get up there working with some of these bigger companies, you know, less is more. A beauty makeup is hardest to do because you need to be able to do something beautiful and flawless. And it's actually a lot of makeup, but it doesn't look like it. And that's
right.
Where the true artistry comes in, is when you can make something look so beautifully blended and flawless that it looks like they have nothing on.
Right.
And I think that's where bridal makeup becomes hard, you know, because you want it to look beautiful and flawless and gorgeous in a picture, yet you don't want it to look heavy and drag queenish and, you know, all of those things that we
right.
see. So sometimes beauty makeup is actually the hardest makeup to do because it really shows your flaws. It's
right,
very
exactly.
easy to pile a lot of colors and bright colors and throw stuff on and send somebody out on stage. But the beauty makeup is hard because we've seen the details in the makeup and we're seeing the strength in the details. And so for me, a good artist is in the details. And we live in,
right.
in such a world of photo retouching. I started doing makeup when we shot on real film. There was no,
right.
we'll catch that up later. You know, oh, we'll fix
right.
it in Photoshop. So we had to have strength in our details, or otherwise we didn't get hired again.
We somewhat,
with the digital craze, have some lazy makeup artists out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I've worked with them. I'm in, you know, different sets, and, oh, we'll fix it. The photographer will fix it. You know, in editing, we can Photoshop that. If your work doesn't have to be Photoshopped, you will get booked time and time again.
Right.
And so that's what I try to tell the students, is strive to have your photos not Photoshopped.
Right.
And blend and create everything beautifully. And so I think that's really, like you said, the beauty makeup and why it can be so hard.
Yeah.
Did that kind of answer your question, I hope?
It did.
Yeah. So that's how we work. And by about week 6, we go home looking really good. But those first few weeks, we really, really focus on the fundamentals.
Yeah. I'm sure your students are anxious to get to week 6.
They are. We actually did week 6 in class this morning, and they're, oh my gosh, we did a full makeup. Because we're methodically working just foundation, just eyebrows, just liner, you know, just eye. And then we put it all together, and sometimes they surprise themselves. They go, I did that? I didn't know I learned all that. Because in the beginning, like I said, you know, they want to come in and they want to walk out looking like Kim Kardashian day one. It's not going to happen.
Right.
We have to get
right.
there. You know, we have to take baby steps to get there. And I find when you learn too fast, you learn wrong. So we
right.
take a slow, methodical approach, and we really get every step right. And then we put it all together for an amazing result. And so that's what we did today. It's always kind of an aha moment week 6 in class. Students kind of have an epiphany. I did that? Wow. They're proud of themselves. So it's fun to watch. I love watching students grow and see
yeah.
them develop as an artist. It's just really rewarding. And you know, we get to go to work as makeup artists. We don't have to. We get to. And so I think
right.
it's just an awesome career, you know, that we get to wake up every day and get to make people feel beautiful. And beauty is such a great thing to give back to people.
Right. Exactly.
It's very rewarding. So.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, I brought a caller on the line. Are you there?
We lost another one.
Lost another one. You probably got tired of us.
I'm sorry, I talked too much.
No, not a problem. Now, where do you think, what is, in your opinion, what is the state of the makeup artist industry? I was going to ask you, what is the state of the beauty industry? But what is the state of the makeup artist industry? Like, where do you see makeup artists now, and what would you like to see change with makeup artists?
That's a really good question. You know, I mean, I think that what we don't realize is, you know, cosmetics behind pharmaceuticals is the number 2 industry in the world. So you know, through the Great Depression, through all of that, there's always a rise in cosmetics and cosmetic sales, and there's always a need for makeup artists. And when people call me and they say, I'm not busy, you know, when you've got to look in a different area. When weddings are not happening, you know, other stuff is happening, fashion shows. So I think we really have to realize how many different facets of this industry there is, and that there's always a need for a makeup artist. But the mm-hmm. shift that I see happening, I guess, mostly in this industry is, you know, going to these makeup shows, and I think especially in LA because it is so social media savvy here, it's just watching the influx of some of these people rise to fame through social media. It's really interesting to me because I come from a different background of makeup artists. I come from that old school breed of makeup artists.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know some of these people sometimes, but, you know, just even at the last Fame Expo, you know, I was sitting there and Sharon Galt, who I know you interviewed and who's always been mm-hmm. one of my idols and a friend of mine, I just watched her walk through the crowd and people didn't recognize her.
Oh, I know.
And it kind of disheartened me. It kind of disheartened me a little bit because I thought, wow, where is this industry going? You know, what is happening here?
That is a good point. So, yeah, that is a good point because I remember at the last IMAX that I attended last year, Dick Smith was walking around. And normally at IMAX, whenever Dick Smith shows up, because you know he's going to be there every year, whenever he shows up, I mean, people would, like, you know, run to him, and everybody wanted to take a picture with him, and, I mean, just everybody wanted to talk to him and ask him questions, everything. And it was, like, last year, Dick walked through the halls. Nobody ran over to him except me and my sister. We were trying to get our annual photograph with him, and the line was, like, a mile long to see, what's her name, Candy Johnson? Is that her name?
Right. Yes,
the girl from YouTube. I mean, a mile long.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. Last year at IMAX, we had Eve Pearl. I was speaking to her. She was actually at our booth, and my assistant Jessie just adores Eve Pearl, and so she came to our booth and she was saying hi, and we were chit chatting with her, and I actually watched somebody push her out of the way to get to a YouTube guru that I didn't even know who they were, and it's just. Mm-hmm. It's a little disheartening to me to see the shift. I love social media, don't get me wrong. This is social media. But to see these people who call themselves makeup lovers, makeup gurus, not know who, you know, Dick Smith and Sharon Galt and Eve Pearl mm-hmm. and Joel Harlow and some of these amazing artists who have really worked for the past 20 years to get to where mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely see that happening. And I don't know. It's a little disheartening for me.
It is. To me, it's disrespectful, but how they don't know it's disrespectful because they don't know who those people are. But the thing is, I think that's the problem because they are gurus and they're makeup lovers and not makeup artists, people who do this professionally.
Exactly.
So they don't know the true history of makeup as a career because they don't know who these people are. They just love NARS and Makeup Forever and MAC and all these, mm-hmm. you know, beautiful colors to do all this stuff with. So it's a little different, and it's almost sad to see, to be honest. I just have to be honest about it. It really is.
And I tell the students, I say, you guys, you know, I give them a list, and I say, these are our, you know, 20 favorite makeup artists. These are who myself and Jennifer and Steven love. And literally on that list, sometimes there's two or three that the students have heard of when they start class. And I say, by the end of class, you guys need to know who these people are. If you call yourself makeup lovers and you want to be in this industry, these people are substantial influences. Know who they are. You know, because mm-hmm. if you know who they are, you will get respect in this industry. Sure, we know these yep. YouTubers, and like you said, but know these artists like Val Garland and Roshar, and, you know, everyone knows Kevin O'Kwan, of course, and Billy B, but know your Eve Pearls and your Danessa Myricks and Ray Morris and, you know, Alex Box and those true artists that I think all these other artists are copying, actually. You know,
right.
when you see people on it, they're actually copying the works of these amazing artists that have, you know, worked in London and you know, for Pat McGrath and different, you know, different areas of this industry backstage in London and Dior and all of that. And so I usually tell the students, you know, take heed to those artists. I mean, I think that the Instagram, like you guys said, is great for certain things, but I see a lot of those artists working on themselves because they're
right.
makeup lovers, not makeup artists.
Yep, and that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been, you know, this is I kind of took a break from going to the shows, you know, and so when I opened the school and was going back to the shows, it was a little bit of a shock for me to see that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little saddened by that.
Yeah. So I think we have our caller back.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
let me try
awesome.
To bring them back.
Hi, ladies. I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me? We can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that, Brandy, when you were trying to bring me on earlier. It wasn't you. It was me.
I thought, oh, did I do something wrong? I broke it.
Thank you again, April, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. This has been really exciting.
Now, I know I'm coming in all at the last minute, but I wanted to ask you, April, and I don't think this question was asked before, but with so many makeup schools out there, particularly the ones in Southern California alone, how does your school stand out?
I think the way, and that's a good question, because we get asked that we get asked that a lot. And, of course, when people come to visit the academy for a tour, we encourage them to visit other academies. I mean, you got to find
mm-hmm.
a place that's the right home for you. I mean, I think what people tell us when they come back is just that we're genuine. And it's not about making a buck for me. It's not about getting as many students in the door. It's really my passion to mentor other makeup artists and all of our teachers as well. We all have our celebrity clients. We all have worked the big jobs. It's not about that anymore for us. All the work we display on the wall is our students' work. So I'm like a proud mom displaying all of the students' work on the walls. And I think that's what makes us different, just the quality of the education and the genuine personal approach that all of our employees give. All of our employees were once students who loved us so much that they're working there now. So our receptionists and everybody. And so I usually encourage people to check out our Yelp reviews. We're the only school with a 5-star Yelp review because it's easy for us to tell you it's a great place before you come, but we want you to hear what people say after they've come to the program. And so we love
right.
Yelp for that. So we just encourage our students, and I keep touch with them. I have all their numbers in my phone. I text them. If I don't see them for a while, I wonder how they're doing. I call them. So all the students have my cell phone number, our other teachers. So that's really important, too, to me, that I become a resource and that the school becomes a resource for them to come back to, like our previous caller, when you've been out of the business for a while or you're feeling uninspired. So
right.
I think that's what makes us different. You know, I hear a lot of people go, well, I went to school and they promised me this and promised me that and I never got any of it. So we like to under-promise and over-deliver. As they say in retail, right?
Right.
You know
Very
what?
Good.
We do have one more caller on. I know we only have like a minute and 30 seconds left, but can I
okay.
bring that caller in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring him on.
Okay, are you there? No? Okay, they're not there.
Maybe they don't want to talk. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
We have
shy listeners on this show, trust me.
I think
well, really quickly,
what also makes us different. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. What also makes us different is we work with a lot of charities. We were just named by Beauty Bus School of the Year for 2012, and Beauty Bus is a fabulous organization that gives beauty back to the community to terminally ill patients and their caregivers. And so we work with Glamour Dolls and YWCA, Casa LA. And it's just a great way for our students to, when they first graduate, you don't want to take on that paying job. You're not ready. So the charity work is great for our students to build confidence and also to give back and to get some great practice in. So we work with a lot of charities as well. And so I think that's what makes us different also is to really give back because beauty is such a great thing to be able to give to people, and it makes them feel good.
And speaking of beauty being such a great thing, our last question for you, April, is what is beauty to you?
I think beauty starts on the inside. I think it's easy to paint a face beautiful, but I think it's so much more than that, and I think it starts on the inside.
Nice. Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. This was kind of exciting. I'm going to have to interview me again.
Of course we will.
Gave me something to do on a Sunday evening.
And within about 10 minutes or so, the show will be downloaded on the Blog Talk Radio site, and you can copy that link to your Facebook pages and all your social network pages, and your students and anyone else who may not have had the opportunity to listen tonight can go back out and hear the show.
Oh, I know some of our students were listening because they were texting me.
Oh, good.
There were a lot of unidentified listeners in the chat room, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had about 10 text messages.
Well, encourage them to tune in every week. We're here every week.
Awesome.
You know, different topic, different guests, and it's promising to be very educational. So they can tune in.
Well, I will put it on our social media calendar to promote it every week and get you guys some more listeners up there. And it was a pleasure meeting you ladies. And thank you for reaching out to me. I'm really honored and really excited to see you guys. I'm sure you'll be at FAME and IMAX again.
Yes, we will.
All right, ladies. Well,
yes,
pleasure talking to you. Nice to meet you again, Brandy. And tell your sister to take her time off.
All right.
All right, ladies. Take care.
All right. Good night. Thank you.
Have
so
a
much.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to Beauty Talk. And I forgot during the show, I forgot to give out the number for people to call in, but I guess they managed to find it. Again, if you join us next week, the call-in number is 914-803-4399. If you wish to ask a question or leave a comment, press 1 to speak with the host. If you do not want to leave a comment or ask a question, then remain on the line without pressing 1, and you'll just be able to listen to the show. So that could be kind of some of the confusion about the phone line and people who, you know, trying to call. They probably press 1, but they don't really want to ask a question. So only if you want to ask a question or speak to the host or the guest, then press 1. And if not, just remain on the line without pressing 1. You can hear the show. But again, thank you all for joining us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you all, well, actually hearing you all and seeing you in the chat room next Sunday night, where our guest will be Katia King of Michelle Beauty Blog. And she's going to come to us and talk to us about what she's been up to in the beauty world and her new polish collection that she has. So it's going to be a very exciting show, and I can't wait for next Sunday. 9 p.m. if you're on the East Coast, 6 p.m. if you're on the West Coast. Thank you all so
very
much.
And thank you, Brandy, for joining in tonight.
You are welcome.
That was awesome. It was awesome. Thank you, ladies.
You did a great job.
Yes.
You so make have a proud. Good night, ladies. Yes, she does.
My sister friends.
Right. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Good night.